Hey, Felice, you have happy news, too.
I do have happy news in light of the fact that this is our first on-air baby shower for Paul, for Paul or anyone on Job Talk. One of the very special gifts, which I don't believe Mr. McKay knows he's a gift for Paul, but we are welcoming today to the show Harvey McKay, who I feel needs no introduction, but nonetheless, I will. He's written 6 New York Times best-selling books, 2 of which were named among the top 15 inspirational business books of all times, and as Joy said before, Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive, and Beware the Naked Man Who Offers You His Shirt. His latest book, which is why we're so happy to feature him on the show, although we would have been happy to feature him on any show of ours, Use Your Head to Get Your Foot in the Door, Job Search Secrets No One Else Will Tell You, was released in February of this year, and it immediately made it to the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and USA Today bestsellers list. There's no question why after we've read the book this week. So we are welcoming to the show Harvey McKay, who is also the chairman of the $100 million McKay Mitchell Envelope Company that he started in 1960, and we are pleased to have him spend a few minutes with us on Job Talk today. So welcome to the show.
Yo, Felice. How do you do? Nice to be with you guys.
Okay, thank you. You have Paul Cameron here as well, who's a new papa, and he's been anxious to talk with you. So, and I'm Joy. So welcome to the show.
Am I talking to Joyce now?
Joy, yes, you are.
Joy, okay, Joy. And is Mike going to be with us and Felice?
Yeah, Paul and Felice are, yes.
Okay, Paul and Felice, gotcha. Okay. Murder's Row. All right, happy to be with you guys.
Okay, the thing is, people come on the show and we have all kinds of exciting questions for them, et cetera. But, you know, when someone is kind of named as the genius or the guru in their area, it's kind of hard to find a starting place with you, Mr. McKay. So,
well, you call me Harvey. Mr. Okay. is my dad.
Okay. Tell us a time that perhaps maybe you did not do something correctly, and so consequently that kind of slid into your book and you didn't say, I did this at a certain time. But was there ever something that the human part of you that we could identify with that, you did make a mistake once in your life, because now you're continuing.
Well, how long is the program? We've only got 20 minutes. I could go hours and hours with mistakes I've made without question. I just heard the word when I came on board here, and that was, I heard the word attitude, first of all, mm-hmm. and I just want to say, because I'm an aphorism junkie, every chapter has an aphorism of McKay's moral at the end of the book, and also I have a column that goes to about 10 million newspapers every week for the last 17 years. And so, but your attitude determines your altitude, mm-hmm. and that is just so very, very important. Regarding mistakes I've made along the way, there's no question about it. I've made a lot of mistakes, but here's what's important. My last book 5 years ago was We Got Fired, and it's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Ooh.
And I know you're in the Chicago area. Mm-hmm. My best friend, closest friend, we're brothers, joined at the hip, happens to be Lou Holtz. Former head coach, University of Notre Dame, of course, and now ESPN and a Hall of Famer. But in there, on the cover of that book, I put his picture along with 12 other famous Americans. We Got Fired, best thing that ever happened to us. Once you get fired, what you have to do is learn something from it. Mm-hmm. You can't take it personally. Learn from it. And Holtz got fired at Arkansas, University of Arkansas. Frank Broyles fired him. Mm-hmm. Came home to his wife, Beth, was going to sue Broyles, was going to sue the school. His wife, Beth, talked him out of it. Next day, he goes back, hat in hand, apologizes for the blow-up. Guess what? He gets the Notre Dame job a few years later because of Frank Broyles.
Really?
In other words, if you're going to burn your bridges, you better be a damn good swimmer. So in other words, you have to learn something from every mistake.
Right.
And I've learned it with unions and union negotiations. I've only had one job in my life. I'm a lucky guy, and that's envelope manufacturing, but I have had 500 people come through my front door in my corporate offices, home offices in Minneapolis, the last 45 years, 500 plus.
Wow.
And I can tell you this, 90% of them got exactly what they wanted. I've counseled them. I'm proud of it. And that's the reason why I wrote the book. Incidentally, for those listeners out there, if they ever did get the book, on the back of the cover, it'll say back cover. It says, do not read this book.
Mm-hmm.
Study it. Underline it. highlight it. Use post-it notes. And if you don't have a job after 6 months, I personally, and I sign it, Harvey McKay will give you your money back. Now, I'm on a 30-city tour, proud that it hit number 4 in New York Times a few weeks ago. The 30-city tour, 28 down, 2 cities to go, and all the people ask me, how can I make a statement like that and put it on the cover?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Swim with the Sharks, without being eaten alive, I was the first author in the United States in the late 80s to offer their money back if they didn't like this book, Swim with the Sharks. 5 million people bought the book. 18 asked for their money back, and 7 of them were my best friends.
Just to see if you'd pay up. I love it. I love it.
Nice, nice.
Well, Paul wants to come at you with some questions.
Sure.
And be ready, because you're in Chicago. Remember, you're talking to people in Chicago. Well, we're streaming worldwide, but there's a Chicago contingent here, and we know in your book there have been a few comments about Chicago, so go to it, Paul.
I love it. I actually open up, and it's very ironic that I open up with the first chapter for those that are basketball fans out there, NBA.
Yes.
Vinny Del Negro, who just got fired, he never coached before in his life. I'm proud that I wrote the first chapter about him and counseled him and advised him in getting the job. And, boy, I'll tell you, he took Boston a year ago to almost defeating him, had a pretty good year this year, and yet this is the nature of professional athletics. So Chicago's had five coaches in 7 years.
Right.
That doesn't really say a lot of strong things about management. But I still like the ownership. Jerry Reinsdorf's a friend. Don't agree with him on what they did. But anyway, Vinny Del Negro will be another coach in another city in the NBA at some point in time in the future, and I'm proud to have written that chapter about Chicago. Also, I have an office in Chicago for the McKay Envelope Corporation, so I love Chicago.
You know what? That was exactly what I was going to ask you about first, because that obviously caught our attention here with Vinny Del Negro. Obviously, there's a lot of different stories about what was said and what happened and so on and so forth, but it came across very very likely that it was just some disagreements with the people he reported to. So I wanted to ask you, you spent some time in the book talking about how to prevent losing a job. If you had the opportunity to talk to Vinny Del Negro 6 months ago, what kind of advice would you have given him to maybe prevent what had happened?
Well, first of all, I'm very proud that he got the job, of course, because he never coached in grade school, high school, college, or the pros. They interviewed 18 people. He got the job and, of course, was paid $2 million a year the last 2 years and now next year. So he elevated himself substantively.
I guess.
Proved to the whole country, and I'll answer your question, he proved to the whole country he could coach, of course, and that'll be proven. I don't have one doubt in 100 or 1,000 or even 1 million. Yeah, he'll be head coach again. What happens if I would have given him some advice 6 months ago?
Right.
No, I did meet with him on several occasions. Just had lunch with him a few days ago. Saw some games in Chicago the last 2 years. And sometimes that will happen. Here's a Time magazine stat. And I don't want any of the listeners to faint, okay? But they came out with a Time magazine. 70% of the people in America, number one, don't like their jobs. Now that's a terrific stat. But get this, 30% are not happy with their supervisors, with their bosses. So what can happen is that you can date a woman for 2 years, you know, take her out, 2 straight years every night. Hey, you should know her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, marry her, and you'll know more in the next 30 days than the previous 2 years. If we're neighbors, guys, okay, we live next door to each other. For 25 years, we're best friends. And one day my spouse says to your spouse, hey, Paul, all right, we're both married, all right? Best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's go to Europe together for 6 weeks. We may never talk again. So my point is this. This will continue to happen in professional sports. There's nothing that I would advise them not to do differently. I thought he was an enormous success.
Yep.
I think he will be in the future. And that all you can do is this is relationships break down. People have different management styles. Yes, they interviewed him and interviewed 19 other coaches. But I'll tell you, you don't know anything even after you interview for 30 or 60 days or 5 days until you actually get on the firing line. And then that's why one out of two people mm-hmm. in the United States get divorced. So Vinny still has respect for the organization, and onwards and upwards to Vinny.
Right.
We hope that Chicago gets a great coach. We hope they bring in another great player, hopefully, with the salary cap that they got a chance to do. They'll both go their same ways. And if we're talking, in fact, hey, mark it down in 2 years. Let's talk again in 2 years, and we'll see how Vinny's doing.
Right.
And we'll see how Chicago's doing.
Right.
There you go.
Okay. You know what? And I'll tell you, with his exit there, he really handled that whole situation with a ton of class. You know,
yeah, thank you. He's a class act.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is know who your friends are. And he's just got a ton of friends in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Got a ton of goodwill. There's something easy about Vinny. If 100 people, forget about who he reports to, and forget about within the company, okay? Because that's athletics and that's NFL, and you know the switches and coaches, and that's Hollywood.
Right.
They're
right.
Hiring and firing all of the time. Sally, Jesse, Raphael got fired 23 times. Larry King's been fired 10 times, on and on and on. I could give you a thousand different examples, but if Vinny meets 100 people, guess what? All 100 people will not like him. All 100 people
That's
will
right.
love him.
That's
will
right.
love him.
Well, you know what? And he probably had to get out of there to get to the next big place where he needs to be.
Well, he'll land on his feet.
Good.
And again, he wishes the Bulls, you got to remember one thing. He's very thankful, too, because they gave him an opportunity to show his wares and show his skills. So now he's well-known all over the United States, and he's got a lot of goodwill. So they did him a humongous favor,
right.
And I think he did very well by them, too. And when he left that organization, which is really important, did he leave it? Did he leave it better than when he found it? And he surely did do that.
That's,
I could go on and on, but
that, right.
I have some other questions.
Well, and you know, and obviously he got some good head coaching experience there.
Yep.
And speaking of head coaches, another point in your book I wanted to touch on. First, I wanted to say thank you for at least attempting to talk Tony Dungy out of getting into the NFL and taking that job over at GM as a season ticket holding Chicago Bear fan.
I just talked to him a couple of days ago. Twice last week.
Yeah.
He was my son pretty much for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I
right.
Proudly recruited Tony Dungy from Jackson, Michigan to the University of Minnesota. And then I advised him. Well, you talk about mistakes. I mean, it turned out. Well, I'll just real succinctly, I advised him to go with General Mills and not go in the NFL because nobody drafted him. They went through 16 rounds of drafting approximately.
Right.
Nobody drafted him. So I said, hey, go with General Mills. General Mills was just champing at the bit for him. And sure enough, he didn't listen to my advice. He went in the NFL. And then one day he was at Tampa, arms folded, Monday Night Football. They were playing the Vikings. I went down the field, said hello to him. He looked at the 70,000 people. And then he looked at me, arms folded, okay with that, that look that only
yeah.
Tony can give you.
Right.
And he said, sure glad I didn't listen to you, Harvey.
He is
nice.
A beautiful human being, that's for
yeah.
sure.
And then
respect for him.
And then a few
yeah,
years,
tremendous.
Few years later, I had to sit in the rain for 3 hours and watch his Colts beat up on our Bears. But
oh, yeah.
That's another story.
I was there.
But
I was there.
Where you?
I go to, I've seen 25, 30 Super Bowls.
Oh,
so
boy.
I'm a sports junkie.
Well, what can you tell, you know, the average listener out there is not a head coach, I'm
right.
guessing. What can you tell them about, you know, obviously he had a great opportunity lined up that he could have easily slipped into, but he didn't. He chose what he was really passionate about. How
yep.
important is that in your job search?
Well, you have to immediately have a philosophy. Again, find something you love to do, and you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Mm.
Now, that's what you're always shooting for. Can you find it the first time out of the box? No. Should you be passionate about your job? Yes. Should you take a job that you're not passionate about? Well, let me set the table for you, and then we'll come back to this. As we speak this very nanosecond, this is not a typo. These are facts. This is Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics. There are 14.8 million people looking for jobs. 6.3 million have been looking for 7 months or more. 1.5 million people 5 years ago were looking for 7 months or more. So that's risen to 6.3. Wow. By the time you're age 38, anybody born today, by the time they're age 38, they'll have 10 to 14 different job changes.
Hmm.
By age 38, and get this, 3 to 5 different career changes, every college graduate today, the ones that graduate in June next month, will have 3 to 5 different career changes before they retire. So that's what we're looking at. Very serious. Now, back to passion, your question, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You should take a job. If you have some financial problems, you can't find what you want, what you're passionate about, I believe, okay, you should stay in the mix, take a job, okay, even if you're not wildly in love with it. You only pass on that job if financially you don't have a responsibility to your family or kids or whatever, and you can hold out. So sometimes you have to do some jobs before you ultimately find out what you want. But if I can talk about the number one chapter in the book, I would love to,
mm-hmm.
if it's okay with you guys.
Please.
Absolutely.
Well,
no.
I'd like every listener to listen up, because this will surprise them. If you're downsized, restructured, right-sized, mergers, acquisitions, consolidations, if anything happens and you're looking for work, immediately go with your passion, put your hand almost over your heart, and say, what charitable organization, what nonprofit would I love to work with and volunteer? Volunteerism. Mm-hmm. Immediately do that. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's analyze this. Every charitable organization, nonprofit, today, in this dog-eat-dog, rat-eat-rat, shark-eat-shark economy we're in, every one of those organizations have three problems. Number one, money. Number two, money. Number three, money. So that means when you join it, the United Way, Big Brothers and Sisters, in Minneapolis, I ring the bell, the Salvation Army every year, doesn't matter what your charitable organization you pick. So you're passionate about it. You have to raise some money for them. What does that mean? You're going to get some no's. You're going to have to learn how to handle rejection. What does that mean? When you're out there looking for a job, you'll be able to handle rejection a lot better. You'll be a better salesperson because you're trying to raise some money. You'll be a better manager. You'll be a better leader. All these, you'll be a better communicator. And guess what? 67% of all jobs are found through networking. So if you're working with the United Way, for example, you're working with hundreds of people. They all know you're looking for work. So now you're networking. But now here's the number one reason why every listener out there, as soon as you hear the end of this program and you're not involved with the nonprofit, just get on the stick immediately. Here's the number one reason. You feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Let me repeat that. You feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you're out there, you know, lonely, looking for a job, what could be better than doing something good for humankind or mankind? So that's why I like the volunteerism chapter, number one in the book. Number two, can I give my second best?
Please.
Absolutely.
Which will help a lot of the people out there immeasurably. I say, and here's the title of the chapter, expose yourself in the privacy of your own home.
I wasn't going to bring that up, Harvey, but I'm glad you did.
All right, but I'm going to, now let me explain.
Oh, okay.
As soon as you get laid off or lose a job or a tweener in between jobs or quit for your own reasons that you want to find a better job, anything whatsoever, you go right to your living room, make sure you got a camera there, a video camera, and then you invite over your kitchen cabinet. What do I mean by kitchen cabinet? That's 1, 2, 3, 4 close friends who care about you. Caring is contagious. Help, spread it around. What are they going to do? They're going to take that video camera. They're going to prepare you for the next interview. They're going to ask tough, difficult, in-depth, substantive questions. And they're going to put you on the spot. Guess what's going to happen? All of a sudden, your nervousness is going to go away. You're not going to be as nervous as you were in the previous interviews, because you're preparing to win for the next interview. You're going to have confidence. You're going to gain some poise. Can you imagine if all of us were, let's say we're lawyers, and we've been at a trial for 2 weeks, and now we have to make a summation to the jury. Are we going to give that speech and just go wing it? No, we'll practice in front of our partners, won't we?
Yeah. Police.
So that's what I'm telling everybody out there. You have three kinds of vocabularies, speaking, reading, and writing. And the speaking vocabulary is so very, very important. So therefore, you got to practice and practice. And if you're not a good speaker, the chances of getting a good job, in other words, being able to express yourself and being a salesperson, goes dramatically down. Best kept secret in America, best kept secret in the world. We'll join Toastmasters. Just a measly, paltry few dollars. I'm a proud graduate of Toastmasters, and you'll get up and speak every week at your Toastmaster club. They're all over Chicago. No one will ever, I've had thousands of people join because of interviews like this. Never had a person call me that they made a mistake, but I've had many, many, many hundreds of letters saying it's one of the best decisions I ever made my whole life. Toastmasters International.
Absolutely. I'm a proud member of myself, and I know that you were
once named. Is that right, Paul?
Yeah, yep, yep. And I know you were one of the top five speakers in the world of Toastmasters International. Is that correct?
Well, you've done your homework a little bit, yeah.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a proud that select membership that they pick five names, and I'm very proud to win that award.
And they didn't pick it out of a hat, I'm assuming.
I doubt it. You know, one thing, Harvey, I run a small IT recruiting firm here in the Chicago area, and we literally, upon reading the Swim with the Sharks book, reprogrammed our client management system to include the McKay 66 on one of our pages in there. Because it's such a valuable sales tool, and as you're talking about, finding a job is really, it's a sales position. How can you relate the McKay 66 and make that useful for the job seeker?
You get an A on your report card. I am so impressed. So impressed. I've done several hundred interviews, and I want to tell you, you guys are sharp. And that, you just hit the nail on the head, and if you could pull one thing out. I was at Harvard last Thursday speaking at Harvard, and I talked about this more than anything. And that is, yes, I wrote an article. In fact, I want everybody to get their paper and pencils out, because this is 100% free. Okay, I spoke at Harvard, and then I'll answer your question. Spoke at Harvard years ago, and I called the speech to the MBA program. Okay, humanize your selling strategy. And then I wrote an article for the Harvard Business Review, and that sells for $12.95 in a book I wrote. Okay, it's 20 pages in a 110-page book on networking. So every listener out there can get that free. You can download it in minutes. Happy to do it for your guys and your audience. All you do is go to harveymackay.com, harveymackay.com, and they're going to get this 66-question customer profile I'm talking about. They can sign up for my column, which goes to 10 million newspapers every week for the last 17 years. Once a week, which is on marketing and sales and getting a job, they get that free. They get all my speeches free. They get everything free.
Wow.
They'll sell anything basically on my website. So now back to your question, Paul. And the K66 is as follows. You not only humanize your selling strategy, you humanize your job search. Let me explain. People buy from other people because of likability, because of chemistry, because of people skills. Yes, if you're selling a product, you have to be competent. It has to be a good product. Yes, if you're applying for a job, you have to be able to perform and be skilled for what you're applying to. But that's not good enough in today's market. You have to do some homework on the person that's going to do the hiring, on the human resource person. So if you can go prepare to win, and there's 10 pages in Use Your Head to Get Your Foot in the Door, 10 pages, what I call the invisible web. And you can learn about the invisible web also on my website. You'll be able to find out, Paul, if you're interviewing me for a job. You got it? I want the job and you're interviewing me. You know, through the invisible web, if you're a golfer, I can find out where you play golf. I can find out your handicap. I can find out your previous employment. I can find out whether you're a Democrat or Republican. I can find out where you sent checks, which party, you know, independent, whatever. I can do all those things on the invisible web. And there's all kinds of different ways to research how you can humanize your job search. So that's extremely important to everybody out there listening. And also, I want them to know that this book is not This is for someone looking for a job. It's an A to Z career resource book. If you're an entrepreneur, it's for you. If you've got a job, it's for you. If it's a CEO, it's for you. It's how to hire, how to fire, how to ask the tough, difficult questions. So that's the reason, I guess, why it made number four in the New York Times. But I'm proud of it, and I think that book will be around for 25 years. I hope that answered your question, Paul, on the 66-question customer profile. We call on 3,000 accounts all over the world, 3,000 human, you know, with our buyers. They used to be called purchasing agents. Now they're called purchasing managers. 3,000. We have a dossier. We have, okay, the facts. We have at least 10, 20, 30 questions answered that we want to know about all the 3,000 buyers we call on, where they went to school, where they take vacations, where they grew up, are they married, what about their kids, what about their grandchildren, whatever. We want to know all those different things, because when you're selling someone something or you're talking about an interview to get a job, guess what? You're not talking business all the time.
Harvey, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's it. So I hope that answers Paul's question.
It sure does. It sure does. Thank you. It's so important to, because that's just essentially, it comes down to doing the extra research about every company before you go in. And I know you put a lot of emphasis on that in your book, is finding all these different pieces about it, right down to knowing what awards are going to be on the wall before you walk into that reception area. What I get, and I do a lot of presentations at various job clubs, and one of the big pushbacks I get from the listeners, or from the listeners, but from the participants there, is that it just takes so much time to do all that research, and do you know how many different places I'm applying to? And it seems like it's more of a hassle for them to do the research, and therefore they don't do the research. Can you help me make that argument on how important doing that research is?
Well, they have no chance. Whatever their probability is of getting a job or selling a product or being successful. It's really funny. I just gave a speech to the Arizona Republic. I'm calling from Phoenix. And I gave a speech to the Gannett organization just 20 minutes ago. I just got back here to the phone. I mean, 20 minutes before I called you. So I'm going to answer your question this way, as I did to the CEO of the Gannett Corporation. And they had 25 of their newspapers from around the country. People represented all the publishers and the editors. And basically what I told the CEO is that I've written 6 books, 80,000 words in each book, approximately. So that's 480,000 words I've written. And there's one theme, and it's 3 words. 3 words throughout all 6 of my books is the major reoccurring theme. What is it? Those 3 words?
Do the research.
Prepare to win.
Oh.
Prepare to win. And that's what you're saying, Paul. You don't want to do your homework. You don't want to do your preparation. You don't want to prepare to win. Then you're not going to get the job. And a hungry fighter who is going to prepare, he or she, is going to beat you out of the job. So there's no shortcut. And again, your attitude determines your altitude. You can't do it all by yourself, all right? You should use that kitchen cabinet. You should use that community relations, again, volunteerism. Expose yourself to the privacy of your own room. Get some mentors. Do some networking, all right? Go back to Toastmasters. I'm just summarizing some of the things we talked about. And then buy the book, and whatever you do, for sure, go hit my website and get that free book, that networking book, $12.95. It's called the Harvey McKay Rolodex Network Builder, and that's for your audience. Okay, guys?
Thank you so much. And you know, I'll tell you one quote you hit on, one of my favorite quotes of all time that you hit on in this book, is how you spend your days is ultimately how you spend your life. And it's obvious you're spending your life wisely. Thank you so much
for
your time.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Nope.
Should I tell you what's going to be on what I want on my tombstone?
Yes.
Okay.
He couldn't sleep fast enough.
That's cool.
I thought, I don't want to go to bed. I want to go to sleep. I'm afraid I might miss something.
That's cool. Well, we'll miss you. We'll miss you later in the show. We'll probably be talking about you for weeks to come. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. And next time, hopefully, we can do it in person.
Yes.
Oh, well, that'd be great.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Harvey.
You are terrific. Make a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What a great guy. Well,